Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I will.
your dreams. Each and every one of you, thank you for tuning in to Chastity Ministry on Monday, the first Monday in the new year. This is the first Monday in 2013, and truly we thank God for giving us an opportunity to yet be in the land of the living. We thank each and every one of our supporters. We thank our listeners and our callers and those of you who have supported us down through the past year in 2012. Truly, we are looking for God to do some great and wonderful things in our lives. And I tell you, Beverly Crawford sings a song, if he never does anything else for me, he's done enough. Well, I won't concur with that today, because the promises that God has given us in his word, if those have not yet been fulfilled in our lives, then that means we should be expecting something greater from God. Because every promise that God made, I believe he wants us to experience it while we're here on the earth. We don't have to wait until we pass from this life on into the next life. We can embrace and grasp everything that God has destined for us in this life. And that is why we thank you for joining us with New Destiny Ministry. Because guess what? We're here to enhance and to enrich and to inspire and to encourage and empower souls to pursue their destiny in Christ. And our destiny has not been fully fulfilled. Amen. So we once again greet you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for blessing us throughout last week. We saw a new year coming here, and we've just been happy and excited and thankful about what God is doing in our lives. I thank God for First Lady Adams being with us on today, and I'm going to ask her to open with a word of prayer for us on today. I see Evangelist Kinnaman on the line also, and I'm glad these awesome, powerful, anointed women are on this line, because truly we need help on today as we embarked on yesterday on this 21-day fast. And I don't know how many of you have decided to join us on this fast, but we started yesterday on January the 6th, and we're going to the 27th of January, and we have to incorporate this fasting in our daily lives. Amen. So we're going to ask First Lady Carol to open up with the word of prayer for us on today.
God bless you, woman of God, to all those that are listening. And Father God, we so graciously thank you for bringing us into the new year. Father God, a new destiny that we're approaching, Father God. Lord, let us do greater this year than last. Father God, let us let your name be known among this world, and let your light shine in us, that we may draw those closer to you, Father God, and those that don't know you, that you will come through our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, bless everyone that is on this line faithfully to do your will and to hear your word, Father God, as it reaches out across the world. Father God, we thank you for the power that you invested in us down through the years through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are joint heirs with you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we sit in heavenly places now, decreeing and declaring and changing our lives and others' lives. And Father, we just graciously praise you. We love you and adore you, and we'll never neglect you. You'll always be number one in our lives. Keep us humble before you, God, and keep our hearts and our minds open to receive and hear your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless this woman of God, Evangelist Bernard, for the work that you have installed in her to bring forth your people from the east, north, the south, and the west, all around this world. Father God, we thank you for a dedicated servant. For God, you're calling for those in these last and evil days to yield all their members to you, Father God. And we yield ourselves to you, Father God. Our mind, our thoughts are your thoughts. Our ways are your ways, Father God. And we will our lives to do your kingdom work, to the manifestation of your purpose in our lives and the power that you invested in us, because we're made in your image, God. And we thank you for it. Bless the one that brings the word on today. in Jesus' mighty name, that we may grow thereby and be the church that you're calling for. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Truly, we thank God for being here today. We definitely have been praying for you, Lady Carol, praying for you and your grandchildren and your family. Certainly, we miss you. Amen. So we know the challenges that comes with grandchildren, and we know the challenges that come with this time of the year with sicknesses and colds and flu. But we just thank God for what he's doing yet in our lives. And as we begin to talk on this week, we want to talk about the benefits of fasting and prayer. And I know we can't get to everything, because when you talk about fasting, it goes in depth. And if you've never really taken an opportunity to really fast beyond 2 or 3 days, then you probably don't know what it all entails. But, you know, it's pretty easy to go on a 24-hour fast. But when you go beyond 3 days or something, you are really afflicting this flesh. You're afflicting this body, and you're saying in your mind that, hey, I need something from the Lord. How many of us know that we need something from the Lord? And as the disciples began to talk to Jesus, you know, and they began to walk with Jesus, there was a man that was a lunatic. And it was a father, and his son was a lunatic, and he came to the disciples, and we're going to read about that in a little bit, and asked them to heal his son, and they were able to do it. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, have I been with you this long, and I'm just paraphrasing right now, and still you don't have the faith to believe that you can cast this spirit out of this young man and make him whole? So some things we know that we're petitioning God from, it's going to require something from us. You know, you just don't give somebody something and you don't go through the intricate parts of how you're going to present this to them. You know, you know, when you get ready and you think about your children's birthday, you know, sometimes you get a feel of what they want. You hear them talking around the house, talking to their other siblings about their birthday coming up and what they are expecting. So as a parent, you want to present something viable. You want to present something to them that you know they're going to be more excited about it, especially when you honor their petition and you honor their request. And that's how we should be with our Lord and Savior. You know, when God honors something that we're expecting, something that we're praying about, something that we're hoping about, we're excited. And you know, when that thing that we are petitioning God about, when we see the manifestation of it, oh, my God, it just breaks us on down. It humbles us and makes us so appreciative. You know, when I was, and I'm just going to say this, and we're going to get right on into the discussion, and I need you all today, and I'm glad I have some powerhouses on this line today. I see Evangelist Priscilla, First Lady Karen, and Evangelist Kinnaman on the line. I was thinking about last month when we did the True Fellowship Conference, and the Lord had already put some specific things in my heart to do for all of those that were on the program. I presented them with a journal, you know, and I know I'm not no celebrity, you know, but I'm a celebrity in Christ Jesus. I belong to the royal family. So therefore, I think I'm just as important as a Jada Pinkett. Beyonce, I think I'm even more important than them because I have a relationship with Christ Jesus. They're just getting more worldly exposure. Hallelujah. But I mean to know that, hey, the wages of sin is death. And if we suffer with the Lord, he promises that one day we're going to reign with him. So as I begin to get things together, I remember I was working on the paper program First Lady Carolyn. You know, I just believe everything that we do for the Lord, we should do it with the spirit of excellence. That's just my belief. If we want to present excellent gifts and do excellent things for our children and for our spouses, what about the Lord? What about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So I believe everything that we do that has Jesus' name attached to it and has the kingdom of God attached to it, we should do it with the spirit of excellence. So I had been working on this paper program from the time that I made the announcement that we were going to do this fellowship in December. So I had been working and working and working and trying to perfect it and had all the speakers to give me a little bio, and those that weren't the main speakers, I had a little paragraph or something about them. But I worked on that program until I had perfected it. And it was only because the goodness of the Lord. And how many know when you begin to give accolades and you begin to thank people, you don't want to leave anybody out. You don't want to leave anybody out. So as I began to work on what I wanted to do and how I wanted to just honor the people of God, and I had gotten, I thank God for my cousin, Theodora Glover, and she helped me get this logo together, and it all came together in perfect timing. And as I began to think on all of our Blog Talk listeners and all of those that come on the archives, I don't know everybody, but I remember writing in the welcome address, and I'm looking at it now because I pulled the program out. I remember writing in that we were commemorating a one-year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. And in the midst of that, I had thought I had the whole 12 months when I wrote in here that we had reached over 13,000 souls. But when I went back and I pulled up the 13 months, because I went back at the end of December, and I pulled up the 13-month blog stats all for Blog Talk Radio, and it stated that we had reached over 24,000 souls. Imagine that, from December 2011 until December 2012, over 24,000 souls. Now, that don't mean 24,000 people called in. That meant some of those listeners went into the archives. So when we're at home sleeping, signed off this broadcast, the Lord has people surfing the internet looking for a word from the Lord. Go back into these archives and listen to these messages. That's why it's so critical. It's so imperative of us to not argue and debate. It's so imperative of us to not be on this line divided. We have to get on the We all have to speak the same language. We all have to have the same heart of God. We have to love like Jesus did. Jesus said, with love have I drawn you. So as I begin to look at that, on the back of the program, I did an acknowledgement page. And Evangelist Kinnaman, I'm going to be getting that certificate of appreciation to you in the mail. We missed that you weren't able to join us in this fellowship, but nevertheless, I promised that we would get everybody a certificate of appreciation, and the Lord gave me that, and I designed that myself with the help of the good Lord. But on the back of the program, I had an acknowledgement page, and I tried to acknowledge all of them. I acknowledged all of the speakers. I gave thanks to the co-host, Evangelist Patricia Joshua. I gave thanks to Psalmist, who was Lady Carolyn. And Lady Carolyn only sung about three songs for us on Friday night, and the program was a little bit different for Saturday. But I gave out an acknowledgement, acknowledging her for her angelic voice. I even gave acknowledgement to Evangelist Bucilla and Lady Carol again, because I remember in December 2011 when we did the Spiritual Leadership Conference, they helped me decorate, and I thought they would stay for the end of the service on Friday and help, but First Lady Carol had her grandbaby, she had to leave. So I'm just saying that to say I had already thought about this in advance, so I put it in the program, not knowing that they weren't going to be there that Friday. But, you know, you have to prepare in advance, and that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be prepared in advance. He don't want us to be getting things together at the last minute when we think that he's coming. We have to work on ourselves every day, so we have to kill this flesh every day. And I said that to say, too, that we had an honoree. Now, the Lord told me what to do. And I guess I tell people all the time, and I don't mean to be arrogant. I don't mean to be, you know, like, you know, I'm boasting and I'm putting myself. I'm not doing that. But when you are led of God, he said, the Bible says, those that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So I try to consult God. Lord, what would you have me to do? And what would you want done in this setting? Amen. It's not all about me, even though I'm the coordinator and I'm the founder and I'm the one that's hosting this event. I still want to consult with God, because if I put God in everything that I do, then everything is going to be a success. See, God don't judge us by numbers. They may have had about 43, 45 people that attended, but I wasn't concerned about that. I was concerned about the fellowship. I was concerned about introducing some of my friends in the gospel to one another. Amen. Well, we can have some true fellowship and forget about the denomination. Forget about your, you know, what leader you're under. If we can all come together as children of God, we can accomplish the task that is at hand. So in the midst of that, I thought about it. I said, I had the honoree. God told me to honor Sister Ruby Larry. Amen. Okay, thank you. I see you, Evangelist Bucilla. God told me to honor Sister Ruby Larry. Now I honor Sister Ruby Larry with a plaque. And my purpose and the Lord's purpose was a twofold purpose. It wasn't that she contributed every month to the broadcast. That wasn't it. The Lord wanted her to know that she was loved and she was appreciated. Sometimes when you're grieving, Sister Ruby had just lost her daughter a year and a half ago. Amen. And so the Lord wanted to touch her. The Lord wanted her to know that there was other people in this fold that loved her and appreciated her, not just because of the money, because I don't come on this broadcast begging for money. The Lord supplied all of our needs. So in the midst of that, I said, well, Lord, I would like to get her a nice plaque. So the Lord brought all of that together. Then he allowed me to get after I seen how beautiful and First Lady Carol, I want you to know, people judge you on what they see and what you speak. They're not behind the scenes. They don't know how the Lord is dealing with you. They don't know how your funds is coming in. They don't know what the Lord is expressing to you. But as I seen the beautiful plaque that the guy did for Sister Ruby, I said, well, Lord, I got to get a plaque for Dr. Burford, because Dr. Burford opened up his church to me. He did not ask for a dime, and I'm not a member. I have not cast my membership. And for this man of God and this and his wife and the saints to open up their building like that to me, it just touched my heart. So I said, Lord, I got to get him a plaque. So I got him a smaller plaque, but I acknowledged it. And that's what God is looking at. God is looking at our heart. He's going to judge us on the intent of our heart, our motives. What is our agenda? Is there any hidden agendas? Amen. So I want to say to you all today, as we, those of you that are going on the fast, please call me and let me know that you're on the fast with us. This 21-day fast, we want to come out with more power. We want to come out with more direction. We want to come out with more clarification in everything that we're doing for the Lord and even for our natural family. This is a twofold thing. It's natural and it's spiritual. So the natural benefits, we're going to talk about some of that today and hit on some of the spiritual benefits also. You know, we have to come into a place, First Lady Karen Evangelist Kinnaman, that we have to prioritize. And God should be number one. Our relationship with God should be number one. For one, he told us to have no other gods before him. He said, have no other gods before me. He said, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And if God is jealous, when we give our attention and our time and we prioritize others before him, he is jealous. He is jealous. He said, I want you to be intimate with me. He said, I want to have a relationship with you. And that's what serving the Lord is about. It is about relationships. Relationships. If I didn't have a beautiful relationship with Evangelist Kinnaman, I could say some things that she may not understand at the time that I said it. And if I didn't have a good relationship with her, she could take that and say, oh, I'm not going to deal with her anymore. You know, First Lady Carol, you can say, oh, she's saying something I don't like. So, I'm writing her off. But you didn't even understand. You didn't even get an understanding of why I said that. But if you had a relationship with me, then that means you know a little something about me. You know one thing, I'm not on this line to hurt anybody. I'm not on this line to embarrass anybody. I'm not on this line to insult or injure anyone. That's not my objective. The whole purpose of this broadcast, and I want to make this very clear, this first week in the new year, this is the second week in the new year, this is the first Monday in the new year, that our objective on this line is to reach souls. How do we reach them, Sister Bernard? By encouraging them, by inspiring them, by enriching them, by empowering them with the word to pursue their destiny in Christ. Empowering, that's my motto. My granddaughter says motto. So that's New Destiny Ministries motto, empowering souls for destiny. We all have a destiny in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're empowering souls for destiny. I thank God, and I just got to give you all some praise, and I'm being led as I'm speaking right now. I just have to commend and thank you all for coming on this broadcast and supporting us. I don't know from day to day, Evangelist Kinnaman, First Lady Carrie Evangelist Lucilla, who's going to be on the line. Nobody called me every day and said, well, I'll be on tomorrow. So I govern this broadcast as I see people come on the line. I know my sister Dawn, she try to come on every day because she's at work, but she's off on Mondays, so she done took a day off. She might sign on a little bit later, but I don't see her on right now. So I govern myself according to as we come on the line. Yes, I schedule people sometimes to speak. And this year I'm doing things a little bit different. I still will be scheduling people to speak. But the Lord is opening up new doors and new opportunities for us. We're meeting people through Blog Talk Radio. We're meeting people on Facebook and Twitter. We are even meeting pastors that are asking us to come on this broadcast and speak. Now, I'm going to get a little bio on these people, and I'm going to have an interview with them before they just get on the line, because I want all of us to be on the same page. I don't want nobody to come on here that's going to hurt anybody or going to mislead anybody. That's not our purpose. That's not our objective. So today we're going to talk about the benefits of fasting and prayer, and I want your input today. But before we do that, I just want to open up and define what that word benefit really means. And then I'm going to go to Evangelist Kinnaman. Well, let me go to First Lady Carol first, because she may have to get off the line a little bit earlier. But we thank God for First Lady Carol. So I want to talk about benefit. Let me just give you the definitions that I defined on these words. And I'm just going to deal with today the benefits of fasting, but and prayer is the whole subject matter. So when we talk about benefits, we're talking about something that is advantageous or good. We're also talking about, it can also be an act of kindness, a good deed, to do good to be of service to. Then when we talk about benefit also, we can be talking about a payment or a gift. A benefit. If you have an insurance policy, there is a benefit. Amen. If you're on a job, there are some benefits. You get sick leave, you get sick time, you get paid vacation. Those are some benefits that the employer gives to the employee. But today we want to talk about the benefits of fasting. We know that God has a benefit package that we don't have to ever worry or fret about. We don't have to worry about being bankrupt. We don't have to worry about if the little small writing on the contract, is it legible? Is it legal? We don't have to worry about that, because everything that God has written in his word from Genesis to Revelation is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? And it says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Well, if you take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, then guess what? In that cup, you have all your benefits. Because in that cup, you might have some suffering. In that cup, you may have some, you have some joy. You have some peace in the cup of salvation. In the benefit package that the Lord has for us, there is suffering. There's some joy. There's some peace. There's some love. There's some patience. There's some long-suffering. There's some temperance. There's some gentleness. There's some kindness. There's some meekness. There are some other things that's going to be in that cup. It's not going to always be a cup that is full of joy. Ah, Jesus said when the woman asked Jesus, could her son sit on either side of him? Jesus said, that's a hard thing you're asking. He said, can you drink of this cup? Hallelujah. Can you drink of this cup? So we're talking about benefits, something that's advantageous. That's what this fasting is going to do for us, this 21 days. It's going to be advantageous. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be something that God has already designated for us to get through this life. Hallelujah. Benefits. We're talking about something that is good, something, again, that is advantageous. Now, when we look at that word fasting, fast, what does that word fast mean? That word fast means to abstain from all food. Bah! To abstain from all food. But on this 21-day fast, we are allowing ourselves to consume one meal a day. one meal a day. And I don't know how you want to do it. You might want to do breakfast. You might want to do lunch. You might want to do dinner. Well, I'm going to organize myself. Whereas I design my plan to eat in the evening before 6 o'clock. After 6, I don't want to take in nothing but some water and maybe juice. And I'm trying to stay away from the juices, too, because there's a lot of sugar. We want to eliminate sugar in this 21-day fast. Now, you might have a little sugar in some things, and some of these fruits is sweet. So it's sugar in them, but all this carbohydrates and starches, we want to eliminate that. We want to get some green vegetables, some raw vegetables in our body, carrots and broccoli and greens and lettuce. Hallelujah. We want to consume some of these things that's going to be healthy for our bodies, for our natural body, and also healthy for our spiritual body. Because when you have healthy ingredients in the natural body, it blesses your spiritual body. Because guess what? You'll be able to think a little better. You'll be able to think clearer. You'll feel more. You'll have more energy. You'll be able to sustain better and stand up. You know, you'll be able to get the proper rest that your body needs. So fasting is good for us. So it also says to eat only sparingly or certain kinds of food, especially, again, as a religious observance. And another definition says to cause to abstain entirely from or limit food. Then it says to an abstinence from food or limiting of one's food, especially when, again, voluntary and as a religious observance, a day or a period of fasting. And the saints of God, as children of God, we need to fast. You ought to have at least 1 or 2 days in the week that you fast every week. Every week. Set aside a day. Set aside 2 days a week to fast. It will help you naturally and spiritually. So that's what we're talking about today. Spiritual fasting. We want to fast where God can bless us in every area of our lives. Now, as I begin to study this a little bit, in the Old Testament, God commanded Israel to observe some set times of fasting. But in the New Testament believers, fasting wasn't neither commanded nor forbidden, okay? But God commanded them in the Old Testament to set times aside to fast. Amen. Jesus himself affirmed in Luke 5:35 that after his death, fasting would be appropriate for his followers, because he told them it's just not good for you to fast while the bridegroom is here. Hallelujah. But he said, let's turn to that right quickly, and then I'm going to open up the lines. We just get in some discussion this week, because we want God to get the glory as we go on this fast. Let's start at verse 33. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And Jesus was teaching about fasting. Amen. And Luke chapter 5, verse 33 says, and they said unto him, these are the disciples talking to Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? But thine, they saying to Jesus, we eat and drink. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Hey. How are you going to fast while the bridegroom is with you? This is a time of celebration. And when we celebrate, we know black folks, you know, when we celebrate, how we going to do it, First Lady Carol? We going to do it with some food and we going to have something to drink. But verse 35 says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. So Jesus is telling them, I'm not going to be with you always. I'm going to leave you. So as I go, when I go, I'm teaching you what to do in my absence. I want you to fast. I want you to fast. I want you to be strong. I want you to adhere to these teachings that I taught you. And guess what? If you include in your daily activities a day of the week or 2 days of the week to fast, then guess what? I'll be right there to support you. I'll be right there to give you what you need. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about fasting, the benefits. There are some benefits in fasting. Amen. Let's go to, hallelujah. Lord, I bless you today. I'm looking, let's go to, again, Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at, hallelujah. Let's look at verse 16 in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And again, this is Jesus, after he had told his disciples how to pray. He talked about fasting. In verse 16, he said, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. So Jesus telling them how to fast. He's saying, anoint your head. Don't go around telling everybody, oh, I'm on a 21-day fast. You don't have to tell people that. Now, if they ask you and they want specifics of why, then you can say, oh, well, I'm on a solemn fast. I'm refraining from participating in some things. He said, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They won't even get a reward from fasting because they're doing it for show. But we're doing it because we want God to bless us in the natural and the spiritual. We want our families to be blessed. We want our sisters and brothers in Christ to be blessed. Verse 17 says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So God see us afflicting this flesh. God see us afflicting this flesh. He see us, hallelujah, denying ourselves. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Go over there. That's the next. Just turn on over. And we're going to go to verse 14. Matthew 9 and 14 said, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, again, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them again, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. No man putteth a piece. We're not going to go into that. We'll just leave that as that. We're not going to go into Jeremiah. We're going to do that during the week. We'll go into some of the other books of the Bible in the Old Testament and see why they were fasting. Amen. But we want to go to, hallelujah, amen, I'm looking for the scripture where Jesus, where the guy, maybe you all can help me out. So I'm going to go to First Lady Carol right quick, and I'll look for that scripture. Amen. We're going to go to First Lady Carol, and we want to talk. I just want to ask you today, First Lady Carol, as we talk about the benefits of fasting and prayer, and as we begin to put our petitions before the Lord, what should we expect after we dedicate and meditate upon the Lord during this 21-day fast? What can we expect to receive from the Lord for these sacrifices that we're making, First Lady Carol?
Praise the Lord. Truly, I enjoyed what you were saying. And before I go there, I just wanted to let you know that I truly appreciate the certificate that you gave us, because truly I have it in my living room. It's beautiful, and I love it. And I thank you, woman of God, for respecting a guy in everyone. Glory to God. And as you were concerning the benefits as we fast and pray, our benefits after coming off of it, we have a closer, a more enlightenedness of who God is, and we are in a deeper love and appreciation for God and our benefits. You walk in more dominion and power. Your atmosphere changes. My mind changed. You know, as you were talking about the benefits, things begin to go through my mind. The benefits, when in fasting, you're never being in despair. You're always in control of what is going on. The Holy Ghost takes control of the total situations. And when we're the benefits of fasting and prayer, we have a deeper level of love, a relationship, of intimacy with God. I said, we have a deeper relationship with God. A level. It's another level. Like when you're not in a natural love, your love gets deeper and deeper as you go through in relationship, as you talk about relationships, as you go through things, as you communicate with one another, your level of love deepens. So sometimes when you say, oh, I like them, and then let me say, oh, I really admire them. Oh, I love them. I have fallen in love. So as we begin to fast and pull ourselves from the table and for the spiritual man to grow, that's the benefit. The spiritual man would go. We let the fleshly man die down, and that way the lust of our flesh won't override the spirit man, because the spirit man will be filled. The benefits in fasting, it brings the spiritual man power and brings forth whatsoever we speak forth. I didn't say that one again. The spiritual man, when we fast and pray, the spiritual man gets more power. And as we speak things forth, we can change the world. Whatever, what says whatsoever we speak, it will come forth. It will happen. It will manifest itself for change and deliverance. When we fast and pray, there's change and deliverance. We don't fast and pray to be fasting and praying just to not eat. I love to eat. But when I fast and pray, it's for a reason. And it's for a season to deny me and to get a closer revelation of what God. Fasting and praying, the benefits of fasting and praying is to get a new revelation from God. Because I sit in heavenly places. We're not waiting for him to come back in the sky nowhere. The Bible says I sit in heavenly places right now. When we fast and pray, the benefits is I can sup with my Father. I see my Father. Like, now, I ain't seen God. No man has seen God at any time. I want you to know I have seen him, experienced him, because I sit in heavenly places. I ain't up there blind.
All right.
If you say I'm sitting in heavenly places, I got to see something.
Come on.
Because he said, I sit on the right hand of God. I sit on the right hand of my Father. And if I'm a joint heir with him and a joint heir with Christ and my Father, I can't be blind. Glory to God. And fasting, it brings us to that, to see the invisible. Hallelujah. To see the invisible. As God begins to move and work, he said, if we can see demons, don't you think we can see angels? We can see the majesty of God. We can see God himself. Didn't Abraham see an angel? But it came as God. Didn't he see a burning bush? He's seeing God. When we look at each other, who we see? If God is in you and you and he in you and I and Jesus in you and he in you, who are we seeing? We see the God-man inside of you, the anointed Christ in you. And through our fasting and praying, this is seeing the word, God speaking to us, talking to us, taking on a spiritual flight, leaving this body. Hello, somebody. If you ain't been there, start fasting and praying. God will take you out of this body, what they call a spiritual flight. Hallelujah. And he will take you to the heavenly places and show you some things. Where do you think John went? He said, in the body I know, and as I dream it, I don't know, but I sleep, I don't know, but I know one thing. I was with God.
Yeah.
And if he was with God, he had to see something. Hello?
Hallelujah.
So fasting and praying, getting that closeness with God, revelation, supping with him. The word says that my Father and I will come in and sup with you. That means dwelling there, having a relationship. When somebody come home for supper, they coming in to sit down. Because I know in the country, they say we have breakfast and supper, lunch, supper, then dinner. So it's a whole banquet going on right there.
Mm-hmm.
And God and the Lord and the Father is there with us through fasting and praying and on a more deeper level than just a quick prayer and we gone, or a quick reading the word and we gone. This is the time for intimacy with God and to bring us to a deeper level of love in him. That's my benefits that I have with him, that I get to know him and he gets to talk with me and be with me. And we can laugh. Don't you know you can laugh with the Lord? Glory to God. You have a spiritual laugh that when I go to fasting and praying, God gives me songs. He let me hear the angels singing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's a benefit. It's a joy. Once you get to that second day, it's a joy. And all the other stuff is the devil started hurting your stomach, hurting you this, that, all the other. I used to fast with my babies, pregnant. I would fast. I wouldn't eat and drink nothing. We talk about the Moses fast and Jesus fast. Wasn't the 40 days, but it was out water, eating, drinking nothing. It was just me, God, and the Word, and my baby inside of me. And my father said, but see, baby, you shouldn't be fasting like that. I told him, well, God's going to take care of me because I'm doing it because I want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I thank God because I wanted God that much. I wanted to know him. I wanted to understand who he is. And the more you fast and pray, the more God reveals and come real in your life as a person, just like your children or your mate that's with you, that's in that house 24/7 with you. Everywhere you go, he's with you, talking to you. Glory to God. That's what fasting and prayer, the benefits are. He's real in our life. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you. I love that. I love what you said, especially when you say fasting causes our love to be deeper. We have a deeper love and appreciation for one another. For one another. We can't love the Lord and not love you one another. Jesus said, how can you love me whom you've never seen? And you don't love your brother who you see every day. Time quickly, and then I'm going to Evangelist Kinnaman. Turn to this Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, and we're going to read down to 21, how that some things that we're petitioning God for, some elements, some problems, some diseases, some catastrophes come out by fasting. Amen. And this is what Jesus was instructing. And as the young man that I talked about to you all earlier, we're going to read this little caption about that. Verse 14 says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him. These were the instructions Jesus was given to the multitude as he began to preach. But there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. And so when lunatic means something is wrong with him, his mind, he have a mental problem. And so that for all times he falleth into the fire. So you know this child had a nervous condition, a mental condition, and off into the water. And I brought him, this man is telling Jesus, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus said, bring the boy to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. That's the devil. A devil. The spirit of the devil he gets in our children. And they can be normal one day and abnormal the next. And Jesus said, rebuke the devil. And he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, they seen Jesus, but they didn't ask him why the Father was there. They took him in private and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You didn't believe that you had the power to do it. And for one, you were not fasted up. You wasn't in meditation. You wasn't in a solemn fast. So therefore, you all were laughing and giggling with one another. When it comes time to doing God's business, we have to be serious. And when we talk about laying hands on people, First Lady Cal, Evangelist Kinnaman, Sister Dawn, and Evangelist Lucilla, we have to be prayed up. Because guess what? When we ain't prayed up and we ain't right in right standing with God, when we call ourselves praying for those demons to come out these people, those demons are going somewhere. And if you're not strong enough and you have not spent no time with God, you haven't fasted, you're not where you need to be, they might jump out of them and jump in you. Amen. So you better watch yourself when you go to laying on hands. You better make sure that your house is clean. You better make sure that you're getting it together. Amen. Got it together, not getting it together. So Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. You got to exercise your faith. He said, how be it? This is the last verse. He said, how be it? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So guess what? You just can't say because you're an evangelist and you're a minister and you're a prophet and you're a chief apostle and all of that. You can be all of that. You can have all those titles. But, baby, let me tell you something. If you haven't spent no time with the Lord, if you haven't spent no time crucifying this flesh, if you haven't spent no time fasting and praying, hey, you ain't got no power. Huh? You got to fast to get power. You got to pray to get power. You just don't get power because your name is Sister Adrian. Huh? Sister Adrian got to do something. I got to get in this word. I got to go in my secret closet. Hallelujah. And I got to pull some things off that's not like God. I have to have clean hands. David said, create in me a clean heart, Lord God, and renew a right spirit within me. Whatever you do, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, did the Lord God say, David was a man after his own heart. Because when he said something ugly, when he did something ugly, any act that was not pleasing to God, David took it to the Lord. And he said, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I have sinned against you. So we better get in line. We better stop getting, when folks call us up to minister, and even though you are a minister, you've been ordained and got a license, a piece of paper, that don't mean nothing. If you don't spend no time with God, if you don't spend no time seeking God for his will, for his purpose, for his direction in your life, you will be in error. You will not be able to perform just as Jesus' disciples were not able to cure that young boy of that spirit that was in him. They could not do it because guess what? They hadn't sanctified themselves. The Bible says, sanctify yourself. Call a solemn fast. This is a solemn fast. I'm not on this 21-day fast to compete with nobody, to see how long you can go. You might can go 30 days. I might barely make it through the 21-day fast. So whatever however the Lord deal with you, let him deal with you. Hallelujah, but I know what I'm looking for God to do for me. And everybody has to design their fast according to their body, according to their family structure. You might be married, and if you're married, then you have to consent with your husband. If you're in a home with a man and you're married to him, legally married, I don't mean no checking up stuff. Then you got to ask him, can you go on this fast? Because your body is not your body is not your own. Amen? So, people of God, we're not on this line playing. We on this line because we want God to be glorified. We want God to be glorified in our life. We want God to be pleased of how we live it. We want God to be pleased in how we're serving him. We want God to be pleased in how we are interacting with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers. Even a stranger, we have to be kind. Because guess what? That stranger could be an angel. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. So that means that I can't live right on Sunday before the Sabbath. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm living like a devil. No, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. You have to know something about me. When Evangelist Carol and Evangelist Lucille and I get together, we don't get together to gossip and fool down nobody. We might say something that is out of order, that's something that we can pray about to help the situation, to help the saints, to help the building of God's kingdom. But we're not here to condemn no man. We're not here to judge, because the Bible told us to judge not. We all have something that we need to work on, saints of God. So this week, during this and the next week, we're on a 21-day fast, and we're eating one meal a day. We're consuming some liquids and some vegetables. Guess what? If you're going to do it, be honest about it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Because God is looking at us. He knows those that are sacrificing. He knows those that are pushing back their plate. He knows those that are making sacrifices. He knows those that's going to dedicate 1 hour to reading his word. He knows those that's going to dedicate some prayer time. Set it aside. Hallelujah. If you had a miracle, if you needed a miracle today, and they told you, if you had just been diagnosed with a deadly disease, and they told you for this deadly disease to be cured, I need you to go on a 21-day fast. Man, you will go on that 21-day fast, and you might not eat nothing. You might not drink nothing because you want to live. You want to live. Okay, well, God has commanded in the Old Testament for the Israelites to fast. In the New Testament, we do it of our own accord. We do it on our own will because we want a closer relationship with God. We want some changes. We want to see some changes occur in our lives, in our, we want our children, in our family, in our grandchildren. We want the saints of God blessed. Amen. So I'm going to Evangelist Kimberly. Ah, God, I bless you. Hallelujah. And we want her to expound a little bit on the benefits. We're talking today, the subject, the destiny focus, and we changed it to being a topic, a subject. We're now calling it our destiny focus. Our destiny focus for the week is the benefits of fasting and prayer. So let's hear from Evangelist Timothy. God bless you, woman of God.
Oh, praise God. Oh, yes, thank God. I just praise God for this day. I thank God for his mercy and grace. You know, the day wasn't promised for no one because of God's love, and he, which is his mercy, that we are here today. And I just thank God for all he has done and what he's doing in my life. And you were talking about fasting. And how important it is to fast. Well, it's essential to fast. If you gonna be working in the kingdom of Christ, we must put down, set our plate aside, and seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he should direct that path. And the only way we can acknowledge the Lord, when we are dying in the flesh, this flesh got to die daily. Because in the flesh, there is no good thing. God is spirit. And in him, we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
And I have some scriptures here, a few scriptures. While you were speaking, I had written it out. We go to 1 Corinthians 7:5.
Mm-hmm. I have that. We weren't able to cover all of the scriptures that I had, but we can cover two. We weren't able to cover all of the scriptures today on the fasting, but we can cover a few more.
Yeah, that was related to that, but that's okay. But
no,
I had, that's a reference scripture.
No, go ahead and put that, Evangelist.
Well, that's all right. I was going to talk about fasting. I do Matthew, the chapter, the sixth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus, he command us to fast. This is one of his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that he made up. It's part of our spiritual life. We have to fast.
Can't hear you. Can't hear you, Evangelist Kimberly. Evangelist Kinnaman? Okay.
And it says, when thou pray, not to be as a hypocrite, that's Matthew 6:5, for they love to pray and stand in the synagogue in the corner of the street, and they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, see after you have their reward. For thou, when thou prayest, enter the closet, when thou fast, when thou hast shut that door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and the Father, which is in secret, reward thee openly. And this is a personal thing between you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everybody to know what is the Lord is doing in your life. But, you know, each an individual, you know, we are personal to the Lord. And what if you, and if you fasting according to God's will, because the flesh, the scripture said in Corinthians, there's no good thing in the flesh. There's no good thing. And see, we don't die daily, as the scripture said. We have to die daily to this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't, The Spirit of the Lord won't have no control of you.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a spirit, and he said, those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And worshiping him is doing his command. Worshiping mm-hmm. him, when you fasting, you worship the Lord. If you communing with the Lord, that one-on-one relationship with him. And also when he opened your spiritual eyes to see what is coming against you. Because our eyes, when you're not in Christ, there's no way God's going to allow you to see his spirit, reveal things to you in the spirit if you're not in him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say they are. Hello?
Yeah, you're going, you're drifting in and out.
Oh, my phone. Okay. I'm going to hold it up. But you don't know him. We don't know him until we be in the center of his will, when we obey God's word, when you really sold out to Christ, in that flesh rise up. We got the Bible said we have to put it on, Paul said put it on, you got to put it on a control. Because if your flesh could take over you, the Holy Ghost will have no room to come in. So Jesus is a spirit. He said, though that you have to be in Christ. And this is a daily walk with the Lord, not just someday. We have to be in Christ all the time, whether you fast or not. Just walk in him. Just allow him to speak to your spirit. Read the word, he'll open your understanding of what he's speaking to you about. And, you know, he'll give you a revelation. What he's telling you personally, he can just only speak to you personally. There's time God speaks to me personally. I can be reading my word, and I hear the voice of God speaking to me in my spirit, man. Something I never heard before in the spirit. And he opened my eyes. I said, wow, Lord, I thank you for the word, because that is something I'm speaking after. I want for you. It's not fast coming. We have no petition against one, no one. We are all one in Christ. If you and him, he said, I find you, you and me, you can ask what you will. And there's another benefit. You can ask God what you want. And he will freely give it to you if you
mm-hmm.
obey him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want the person to obey you. But God said, obey me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you obey me, you eat the fruit of the land. And it's obedient.
Yeah.
That's fasting is being obedient to Christ.
All right.
We're not being obedient to man, but God has set this up. Fasting is essential to fast. Because if we don't fast, you won't last. Fasting
Amen.
And praying go together.
Yes.
You pray to get closer to God. You pray to get guidance from the Lord. And to substitute. Fasting, you know, that substitute from staying from food. You don't want the food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want more of God. And
yeah.
want to get closer to the Lord and hear his voice. There's many voices out there. But God wants you to hear his voice.
Uh-huh.
And you can't hear his voice if you're not in that place where he wants you to be.
Amen.
You have to. This is essential for saints everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not just us. Every saint. We have to be there in that place where God wants us to be. And like he did, John the Revelator. He revealed things to John the Revelator. John had never seen these things before. But that's how he revealed things to us.
Oh.
Things we don't even know. We can't even can't touch, you know, we can't even see what God is doing. But when he revealed it to us.
Amen. Well, we're going to be discussing
And
I'm sorry.
You know, we need God. We need him more and more and more. More and more each day. That's who I need, Jesus. Because I can't do nothing without him. And we have to, because you love him, he said you'll keep his commandment. And we love the Lord. We would do what he say. And that be a closer relationship with God. You'll know him for yourself. I don't care where you're going. I don't care what the day look like. I don't care what's coming against you. You can stand because God is with you. You're doing what
Amen.
God say to, God rewards you. That day
Amen.
Will come. At the end, he will reward you the work you've done.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to go to Evangelist Bucilla. We only have a few minutes left, so we're going to go to Evangelist Bucilla, and we're going to be discussing this whole week so everybody will get an opportunity to say something. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Evangelist Bucilla.
Woo-wee! This has been good. I'm telling you, oh, praise the name of the Lord. I tell you that I enjoyed the word of fasting coming from everyone, the evangelist, Lady Carol, Stafford, and Kinderman. It's just been real good. And I only have one little verse that I'm going to go to, and I'm going to add to the fact, but it's all been said. My answer and my take on fasting is already have been discussed. But here in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. I am just speaking and adding to the benefits is what you have so clearly stated. What is a benefit of fasting? And these are the benefits. When you are fasting, this is the same book where there was a fasting that was called by the Lord. And everybody during that 58th chapter of Isaiah, you can go to it on your own personal time, they were fasting for all the wrong reasons. But when you fast and give your heart desire, empty out so God can put in, yes, these are some of the benefits that will come and proceed your fasting. And here in the 61st verse, that's what Isaiah was saying here. This is the things you are able to do as a result of fasting, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison. You have to have fasting behind your belt and in your bosom to be able to take on this task. To them that are bound, look at that, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and it just goes on and on. So I just wanted to say that little bit as far as the question, the question on the benefit of fasting. God bless you. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen, amen. We thank God for the women of God on this line today. I tell you, what would the world be like if it was not for the women? I tell you, when I look at the churches, you know, sometimes, not sometimes, some people don't even believe in women preachers, okay? But all through the Bible, God used women. Hey! God used women in major instances, you know. Mm-hmm. So if it was not for the women, and women, and you know, it's not taking anything away from the men, but it's just something about a woman that God has put this in our spirit. I think God has put a discipline in our spirit, and we find women to be more disciplined than men. You know, and I'm not saying that all men, but major, when you want, when you take an overall picture of the woman, you'll see that woman is disciplined. If God has given her a specific task, she carries it out to perfection. And that's what we all should be doing. We all should be carrying out to perfection the word of God. We all should be ministering to one another. There shouldn't be no jealousy unless it's godly jealousy. And if it's godly jealousy, then the work that I'm doing for the Lord, you're going to do greater. But when we get in this flesh where we become competitive against one another, then that's fleshly stuff. That's worldly stuff. We're competing like the world do. But God told us don't compete like that. Have a godly jealousy where anything the Lord is doing for you to do in his kingdom, I want to do it too, because I don't want to miss my blessing. You know, many people fast to lose weight, but dieting is not the purpose of a spiritual fast. You know, fasting provides some unique spiritual benefits in the life of the believer, and it requires self-control. It requires discipline. It requires one to deny the natural desires of our soul, because there's some natural things that this flesh want to partake of. But during this spiritual fast, we want the believers, we want our sisters and brothers in Christ to be focused, and we want to remove all of the physical things of the world, and we want to place all of our concentration and all of our thoughts, let it be on God. Let it be on God. And if we do that, then guess what? We're going to find ourselves in a different place, a place where we're going to be directed and we're going to be offering for more God. And this fasting is going to clear our minds. It's going to help our bodies, and we will be able to grow closer to God. So as we gain spiritual clarity on this 21 days, clarity of thought while we're fasting, it is going to allow us to hear more clearly from God. Amen? And it's going to allow us to petition God where God will help us. And he will guide us, and we will become holy.
That's right.
Oh, we bless the Lord today for this word. I tell you, I thank God for the discussion that we had. There's so much on this topic when we talk about the benefits of fasting and prayer. And we're going to touch for the next 2 days on this fasting, maybe one more day, and then we're going to get on prayer. I have a speaker I haven't confirmed on Wednesday that may be coming on the line. But until then, just dubbing yourself, recording. Let me say praise the Lord to my sister, Dawn. Praise the Lord, Dawn. How are you? I know you're off today. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How are you today?
How are you today?
I'm fine. Are you off today?
Yeah, I'm over. I'm at the driver's license place. I'll call you. I got on late.
Okay. Well, your mother will return today. She'll be back home, so she should be touching down in a little bit. So God bless you. Enjoy your day off. Are you going on this tour? I know you take medication, but you can do some fasting during this 21 days, can't you?
When you started on 13, huh?
No, we started yesterday.
Oh, well, I haven't started. Oh, okay.
So, well, get started and refrain as much as you can. Get some quiet time in where you can read your Bible and you can pray a little bit. When you get off from work, feel your little time. Even on your job, you might can feel a little time and dedicate some reading and some studying and praying to God during this 21-day fast. And whatever your request is, make it known unto God.
Some of you all would like to share about what you're petitioning God for and what you want to accomplish during this fast. Please call me and let me know. Amen. Amen. Again, I just want to thank Angela Lucilla for helping us with the switchboard. I tell you, God always send you help. God always have a ram in the bush, and he's never going to let his people be in lack, suffer, or be in great need of anything. Our God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So I thank God for Evangelist Lucilla. Thank God for Evangelist Dorothy Kinneman. Thank God for Lady Carol and Sister Dawn being with us on today. As the week progresses, we're going to bring on some people. Evangelist Kinneman, give me a call if you can today, a little bit later. Please give me a call. Also, Evangelist Lucilla, if you can give me a call also, I'd appreciate it. Amen. So we're going to close out the broadcast. Remember, our destiny focus is the benefits of fasting and prayer. And we can go from Genesis to Revelation, talking about fasting and praying. Amen. So we're going to ask Evangelist Kinneman to close out with a word of prayer for us on tomorrow. Remember, we'll be on the line every day this week at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Also, remember Saturday, the segment is called They Overcame. If you have powerful testimonies, join us on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And on Sunday morning, we're on for 30 minutes of corporate prayer at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. By way of announcement, I'd like to announce to you that Prophetess Harrison is having her third annual Women of Prayer Conference, and it is going to be held, Prayer and Luncheon. It will be held on January the 19th, and the location is the Holiday Inn Express at 9175 West Stockton Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. And the phone number is 916-478-9000. Amen. So you can, the cost for the tickets for the luncheon is $25. The conference will begin at 9 o'clock a.m. through 2 o'clock p.m. So that's Prophetess Cheryl Harrison. And she has a guest speaker from Tabernacle of Praise in Richmond, California. So please contact her if you desire to come and be a part of this Women of Prayer Fellowship.
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, yes. I didn't hear nobody. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you love us so much, God, that, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, what you're doing in our life, God. We thank you, God, because, God, we want to hear you. We want to know you more than we ever know before this year, God. Oh, God, just open our understanding, Lord. And Lord Jesus, give us an obedient spirit unto you, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you know every need on this line, God. Grant their petition before you right now, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are, hallelujah, we are looking for greater and greater things, Lord. You said we can have this year, God. And God, we are looking for every, we're looking, Lord, to you, because you is the author and the finish of our faith. And God, we are asking you, God, Lord, we pray right now, we come together, get out every stronghold, every demonic spirit, every
evil spirit attacking our family in the name of Jesus. We denounce you, devil, you a loser. You've been defeated at Calvary Cross. You have no division. You have no dominion over our family. You have no dominion over our mind in the name of Jesus. We declare victory over everything in our life in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your blessings flowing in our life, God. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you, Jesus, for you are the only one, God, can supply our every need, God. And we thank you, God, for this broadcast, God. And Lord, bless Francis Bernard, God. Lord, use her to your glory. Lord, use her, Lord, the more, God. Lord, show yourself strong to her, God, and do this out of this fast day. Lord Jesus, as she present her body unto you, Lord, and sacrifice, hallelujah, unto you, Jesus. Lord, open her understanding the more, God. And Lord, you know what she needs of standing in this day, God. And Lord, I pray that all your people be blessed on this day. In the name of Jesus, continue, Lord. Keep us close to you, Lord. Continue, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your fellowship be with us, God. Yeah, when we leave this broadcast, Lord, you yet with us. And, Lord, that's a prayer and love everyone, Lord, even love the unlovely, Lord. You told us to love those that hate us and despise and use us. And, Lord, I know it ain't the saints, but, Lord, even our enemies, God, you told us to love them in spite of. And, God, keep us, Lord, closer to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Kinnaman. God bless you. We're going to close out with, I know the Lord will make a way. Have a blessed day in Jesus. Amen. This is by Bishop Patterson.
Oh, we're just going to have church.
God bless y'all. Have a Jesus' name.